Well, hello, my friends. Good evening. How is everybody doing? Thank you for joining me. As always, tell me where you're at. Where are you listening in from? And tell me what you want to talk about. Maybe it's on my list. Maybe I've researched it. You never know. I apologize for not being with you last week. It was a busy week, and I haven't missed two nights in a row for a long time. You'll forgive me on Tuesday. Well, I hope you'll forgive me. On Tuesday night, I was in Las Vegas. I had flown out there for the Money Show. This was to do some work on one of the other businesses that I'm working on. And that was a success. I will tell you, everybody in Las Vegas, in all of the casinos, they were all wearing masks, required, and everybody doing it. Everybody wearing masks. So take that for whatever it is worth. Tammy is joining us from West Jordan. And then many of you know about my daughter who moved out to New Orleans about 5 months ago, and that she had to evacuate New Orleans after Hurricane Ida. She's been down in Florida for the last month, staying with friends there. And she had she's been waiting. She's been calling her landlord, saying, when can we come back? Is the power back on? She's been calling her employer, when are you going to reopen? And she got the word on Thursday that she could return, and her landlord of her apartment sent her pictures of inside of her apartment, and everything looked fine. So here's my daughter on Thursday night. She gets in her car and she starts driving home. 10-hour drive. She was in Tampa, Florida, and gets home with her two cats at about 3 a.m. And at 3 a.m, my phone rings and it's her, and it's never good when your daughter calls you at 3 a.m. And I pick up the phone and she's absolutely in tears. My 27-year-old daughter is just, she sounds frayed. I'm like, what's going on? Tell me. So she gets home and she opens the door to her apartment and she walks in, and the smell is the first thing that hits her. And then she looks around and everything in the apartment is covered in mold. And the pictures are just crazy. I mean, like an inch thick in some places of mold. It's mold up the walls, still water damage in the bedroom. Her bed was covered in mold. Just everything. Her rollers, everything covered in mold. Everything that she owns, completely covered in mold. And we're trying to figure out, why on earth would her landlord tell her that it's okay? And the only thing I can think of is she popped in the front in the door, took some quick pictures, and walked out. And of course, the pictures weren't close up. They don't show anything. So here it is, 3 a.m. in the morning, my daughter with her two cats, and she can't stay in this room. It wouldn't be healthy. It wouldn't be safe. It wouldn't be good for the kids. There are fleas everywhere. I mean, it was just... I mean, just as you can imagine. So I'm like, okay, sit tight. Let me see what's out there for hotels or shelters or whatever. So I get online and there's nothing. There's nothing nearby. There are shelters that would take her in, but she would have to do something with the cats. And we're like, I don't know. So I keep expanding my search and I keep expanding my search. So finally I get to where I'm about 2 hours away from New Orleans, and I finally find a place. It's a roach motel. It's a hole in the wall, but it's a place. So I booked that hotel, and she drives until early morning. She arrives and spends the night there and has to regroup and figure out what she's going to do, because all her possessions are ruined. Her entire life is ruined. And The reason I share this with you is because it's been something we've been going through, and I'm always sharing with you kind of parts of my life. But in the midst of all of this, something really cool happened. So my daughter, in fact, I have two daughters that kind of want to follow in my footsteps, but the modern day version of my footsteps, they are wanting to be influencers. So they're doing the YouTube and the TikTok thing. And my oldest daughter has 180,000 followers on TikTok. I have 5,000, just so you know. So she has 180,000 people, and it's because she shares her life on TikTok, and she's got a group of people that love her and support her and like the things that she does and the books that she does. So she posts a video on TikTok of her apartment. And of course, she's still in tears and she's showing everything, all of the mold and everything. And all of a sudden, people start making donations. And $10, $50, $300. Within 5 hours, it was up to $1,200. Another $500, $50, $10. Within 24 hours, her followers on TikTok had sent her $6,000. And it's just a reminder for me that, you know, if you watch the news, if you listen to the political parties, we are driven to believe that people are not good and that people don't care today and that it's all bad, except in our circle or our group of people, and it's just not that way. And so my heart was completely touched, and it actually turned a situation that was the loss of all of her possessions and nowhere to go into actually, how do I say it, a positive experience because of the outpouring of love that she experienced. It was just tremendous. So anyway, I was going to fly out there and drive her wherever she needed to go, whether she went back to Florida or we have family in Texas while she regrouped. But she decided, and we talked about it, she decided that she would come back home here. So her best friend flew out on a moment's notice and got in the car with her, and they did the marathon drive, and they got here Sunday morning. My daughter arrived safely with the two cats, and the two cats are now downstairs. So many of you know, we just got a new dog that I wasn't planning on getting because my daughter adopted a dog. And then this is another daughter, the other influencer. She adopted a dog and then realized probably not best to have one in an apartment. And this dog is such a cool dog, we couldn't send it back. So we already added a dog. Now we've added two cats and my daughter. So we've gone from a house of three to a house of six, seven. in the last week. But it was just amazing to see the outpouring. And by the way, the trolls as well, because there were so many people saying she's lying, she's faking the tears. You know, there is definitely an ugly side of humanity, and it rears its ugly head on social media like you can't believe. Here's somebody in their moment of crisis, and whatever's going on in your own life, whatever's going on in your heart, you decide to lash out? I mean, what kind of ugliness or is going on in your life that you'd see a moment of absolute tragedy and your first response is to lash out? That's the other side of the equation that I saw through this process. Jenny says, hey, from Logan. Hey, Jenny, glad you are here. System is acting up tonight, so here we go. Let's see. There we go. She says, hey, from Logan. Orion joins us. She says, congrats on the new cats. Many of you know how I feel about cats. But these cats are all staying downstairs with her. And they have plenty of space down there. One day, I will tell you the story of the cats in my life. Maybe I've told it on the air before. It's hard for me. I'm still wounded. But there is a reason why I don't have the best relationship with cats. Anyway. So that happened last week as well. And the good news is everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. And my daughter is regrouping, but she is not regrouping from zero, in large part because of kind-hearted people who have never met her. They've just seen 60-second videos of her here and there. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, right? So Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. All right, I got a couple things on my list tonight. Again, let me know where you're at, everybody else listening and watching. This is Jenny. Jenny says, I'm sorry your family has gone through this, but an amazing experience as well for your family. And I hope nothing but the best for your daughter and family. Jenny, you're right. And please don't, I don't consider what we went through. I mean, it was stressful at the time. And there were about 3 hours when none of us knew what my daughter was going to do and what her future was going to be. And it was stressful. But I look at how it turned out, and I look at the fact that we had resources. We could have flown out. We could have helped. We were able to get her a hotel. We were able to do those things. Compared to the people in Ida who lost their homes, generational homes, compared to the people in the hospitals that are dying and suffering from COVID right now, I don't want you to get the impression that it was difficult, but in the grand scheme of things, we are so blessed. And we have a lot to be grateful for, but thank you for your kind thoughts there, Jenny. The other thing I did is I sent out a newsletter on Sunday. And so what I try and do with my newsletters, I'm sure most of you got it. If you didn't, go to jmcfarland.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. If you're part of the JMAC Club, you will probably get the newsletter as well. But the newsletter was about something I've shared with you often, and it was, why do Republicans have to attack the science when they make their civil liberties argument? Because in my opinion, what they should be doing is supporting the science, and if they believe in the civil liberties argument, make the civil liberties argument, but encourage people to make the best choice possible. And that's what my article was about in the newsletter. And I actually issued a challenge in the newsletter. And the challenge was that anybody who wants to believe that the vaccine is not effective or that masks don't work to come together in some public forum, and I'll bring all of my research and you bring all of your research, and we'll each present one piece of research at a time, and we'll see who runs out first. Who do you think is going to run out first? The person who has found a story from 1987 and something that happened 100 years ago to justify their position? Or the mountains and mountains of evidence from the scientific and medical community about the efficacy of masks and the vaccination? So, as you can imagine, I had one woman who went after me. She's like, I can't believe your position. And I kindly replied to her and I said, what don't you believe? Please take a moment and tell me what you don't believe. And she said, well, I just don't think that COVID is any more contagious than the flu. What's remarkable about that is if you saw the newsletter, I included some graphs about this very topic. And I want to show these to you. So let's see. Is the flu more contagious or equally as contagious as COVID? In the newsletter that I sent her, this was the, let me make sure I have the right one here. Oh, okay. I had to scroll up. All right, here we go. This was in the newsletter, okay? And I asked her to send me her evidence that it's just as contagious as the flu. Now, those of you who will be listening on the podcast tomorrow or who can't see that, it says number of deaths in the United States between February 1st and January 2nd. And this is according to or listed by illnesses. Number one was heart disease. Number two was cancer. Number three was COVID. Number four, stroke. Then chronic lower respiratory disease. Then Alzheimer's. Then diabetes. Then the flu. This was in the newsletter. And I asked her to tell me where she got the idea that it's just as contagious as the flu. No answer. There was another one I had in the newsletter. Let's see, right here. Total deaths. This is heart disease, cancer, and COVID. Heart disease, number one. Cancer, number two. COVID, number three. This is deaths per 100,000. It was in the document. So I'm just like, other things I had in that newsletter that I thought were interesting. This is by age group. So deaths in 2020 were higher than average for most age group. Now, this is not a COVID number. This is just deaths, overall deaths, and how they went up compared to other years. Okay? So the highest group affected, 64 to 74-year-olds. Then you had 85 years old and older. The group with the highest increase in deaths, though, 45 to 64 years old was the highest death rate. 22 to 44 did go up. Under 25 years actually went down. Isn't that interesting? And you can see back there, so this is from January to December. And you can see the spike back in April, but you can also see that December was much higher than the initial spike in April. So, again, this was in the document. Of course, then she challenged me on election fraud because I did make a statement about election fraud. And everything that she stated about election fraud was just not verifiable, just not true. So then I had a guy who, I had one person out of the 4,000 emails that I sent out who said he was going to take me up on my public forum challenge. And I said, okay, well, let you just tell me right here, just pick something and tell me, what we would debate. And so he said, show me the proof, show me the evidence that COVID, that the vaccine is safe and effective long term. And I responded and I said, I can't show you that I can't prove to you that it's safe and effective long term because the drug hasn't been around for long term. I said, but science is not new. There's nothing new in these vaccines. We know all of the chemicals and we have a pretty good idea of how the body will react because we didn't create a brand new substance or brand new chemical when we created these vaccines. All of the things in them have been tested and they're new. So we have a pretty good idea before they're even injected how the body is going to respond. We're not sure how the virus is going to respond, but we know as far as how these chemicals operate, we have a pretty good idea going in. Because it's not a reset every time. And he goes, see, I knew you couldn't prove it long term. And he says, so when they say it's safe and effective, they're lying to the American people. And I took a nice deep breath. And I said to him, you realize that according to your logic, that no medicines can or should be approved until they've been tested for 30, 40, 50 years. Because you want definitive proof, and that's only available after you wait that long period of time. And I'm like, do you take any drugs that have been around, that have been invented in the last 10, 15 years? He didn't answer that question, but he's like, the point is that they're deceiving us. And I told him that safe and effective is a medical term. Because he kept trying to imply that they were telling the American people that the vaccines were 100% safe and effective. And I told him safe and effective is a medical term. And so he went and looked it up and he's like, well, I think that most people are thinking it means the dictionary definition instead of the medical definition. And so he backtracked. He actually kind of apologized, but this is kind of the path that we go down every single time. People decided that the vaccine was not effective, and then they went out to find evidence or proof to back it up. Nobody had challenged this guy before. They always just say, trust the science. Nobody had actually taken him through the logic of what he was thinking and what he was saying. I said, think about it, dude. Viagra is considered safe and effective, but it might give you a 4-hour you-know-what, and it might cause death. Look at all the side effects. Take out any prescription that is considered safe and effective, you're told all of the known side effects and possible reactions and problems. The vaccine is no different. The vaccines were never released as 100% effective. Nobody has ever told you that. And nobody has ever told you they were 100% effective, safe or effective. Nobody has said that. And he's like, well, they're not telling everybody. Nonsense. Go back and find me the story where they didn't. This is just the constant battle that is going on right now. Fortunately, this guy was not attacking me. He was listening to what I had to say. And when it was said and done, oddly, he no longer wanted to have the public forum where we discuss these things. Because he thought he had the Trump card, right? The problem was he was misunderstanding medical terminology. And he hadn't taken the time to do the research. And he thought that the CDC was flip-flopping. And he probably thought that because of our own Utah representative, Chris Stewart, who said the CDC was flip-flopping, which is nonsense and which is deadly to share that kind of crap. Anyway, so that was kind of the, I just want to vent a little bit. That's all I want to do. So then I posted a TikTok video about it, and I posted this video asking this question, and maybe you can help me answer this question. What is the evil plan that those who want kids to wear masks, what is the evil plan that they have? We're like, we're going to get kids to wear masks. What is their evil plan? I don't understand. So this is a legitimate response I got on TikTok. This person is dead serious. It's to make children psychologically and physically ill. And then they called me a stupid clown. So these people on these school boards who decided early on in their lives that they want to be teachers, that they want to inspire young people, that they decided they were going to work for less money than they could make in any other place, they decided that they want to just make children miserable. Why? Because they're miserable. Then this person, because I said nonsense, then this person said this, provide the studies that show wearing a wet cloth on a child's face for 30 hours per week is safe. One study. See, this person is falling into the same trap because this is backwards. You're supposed to provide evidence that it's not healthy because the medical profession is saying it is. You're backwards. But just because you're backwards doesn't mean I didn't oblige. And so I provided not one, but two studies on the safety of children wearing masks. This person has not responded back to me yet. Funny enough. I put the studies in. You'll notice that every podcast that I do know, every video I do, if you check in the description, there's a link there. And you can click on that link, and anything I reference or any stories that I talk about should be there. So check them out. Two studies on the safety of children wearing masks. She only asked for one. So I've been dealing with a lot of madness. And again, it's people who have already decided, and now they're running out and they're trying to prove their emotional response. That's what's going on here. This is This is Ronald on Twitch. He says, yo, what's up with COVID? It's really bad. How about that? You can go back and watch the beginning of this podcast. I took everybody through a bunch of graphs and numbers about how deadly it is, and it's not the flu. It is much more deadly than the flu. That doesn't mean you can't make your civil liberties argument. It just ticks me off when you want to make the civil liberties argument, but you feel the need to attack the science. Because that's causing people to make horrible choices, such as this choice. We've all heard about ivermectin, right? Well, guess what the new craze is here? Iodine. Couple of posts went viral on the internet. If you gargle with a little bit of iodine, use it as eye drops, that will cure COVID. Ronald says drinking bleach. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. What is going on in this world where you would rather believe a single internet post and ingest something that hasn't been tested, something that has known major side effects? You would rather do that than listen to the global consensus from the scientific and medical world. You would rather risk this that has not been tested than go with the thing that has been proven to prevent COVID and to save lives. I think Mitt Romney got it right when he said, this isn't a distrust in medicine. This is a distrust, or government, this is a distrust in authority. And I think that that has been pounded into our brain for political gain. And it was one thing when it was affecting the economy or the budget or the deficit, but it's entirely another when it's killing people and causing them to make ridiculous choices, and you're unwilling to state the truth, or you're not willing to find the truth to save lives. Yet on the other hand, you're out kicking and screaming to save the lives of the unborn. I just don't get it. Don't get it. So iodine, the whole iodine thing, not good, my friends. Don't do it. It's not good. Let's see some of your comments here from Orion. My grandfather is in the hospital with COVID-19 pneumonia. He lives in Idaho, a state with 40% vaccination rate and population intent on dying like medieval peasants. He didn't get vaccinated. Nobody in my family got vaccinated. Everyone caught COVID about a week ago. They all watch Tucker Carlson and don't listen to experts. Lauren, my friend's dad died of COVID, but they still won't take the vaccine or wear masks. Yeah. Oh, Heather, say it's not true, Heather. I have family members who are taking turpentine. There's a guy on TikTok who's promoting this, and I'm sure it's made its way to Facebook. And his whole thing is that that back 100 years ago, they used to drink turpentine, and that the reason they stopped is not because they realized it was bad, but it's because the medical industry decided that if people were drinking turpentine, then that took away from their revenues. It's always a conspiracy. Always. Always. It's just maddening. It's just maddening. And again, you know, back when the only thing that mattered was whether or not you got a bill passed or whether or not you had a conservative agenda or a liberal agenda running Congress, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, that's just the way it rolls. But now when you're doing it and you're costing lives, there's only one word for it. Evil. That's it. Evil or ignorance. And it has to be willful ignorance. It's why I am more and more struggling every day to keep that R after my name. Let's be honest, you know it's gone. Because is the lies being perpetuated by the right now are destroying people's faith in our electoral process, which destroys our country. And they're destroying people's faith in a vaccine that saves lives. So they literally are right now destroying our nation and destroying our lives. Think about that. You know, the one thing you want to get mad at liberals because of lies or because of spending and social programs or whatever, are any of those things causing people to want to have civil war on their side? Are any of those things causing people to drink freaking turpentine or bleach or iodine or ivermectin or whatever else? It's evil. It's evil or it's willful ignorance that is costing people their lives. Tammy says, it's so crazy. I know. And I'm sure you're like me. We're all wondering what to do about it. I am glad we have each other here as we get together, our small little group. And we, I'm glad we're all talking about it. This is Ronald again, who's got Nixon as his avatar. Yo, James. It's Jay, by the way. What's your background with all this, or are you just chatting about it? So, Ronald, since you're new, and most of our Twitch followers are new, I've been a talk show host for 20 years, and I'm a little different. I actually do the research. I don't care what my party thinks. I don't care about conservative labels. I don't care about partisan labels. I do the research. I have a huge appetite for it. And so my decisions are based upon my research and my principles. Principles before politics. And so if you tune in one day, I might be going after Joe Biden for a federal mandate on employers to force their employees to be vaccinated. I do not believe that's constitutional. I believe that's a state's right. But then the next day, going after Chris Stewart, Utah congressman, for calling the CDC's new guidance on masks a flip-flop, when what it really was new information based upon new research based upon a new variant. But he went after the CDC saying all these changes are destroying your credibility. No! New research on a new variant does not destroy your credibility. What does, as a United States congressman who can't take the freaking time to find out the truth, or has concluded that if he allows the CDC to have any ground, it gives Biden ground, which gives the Democrats ground, which means he can't support it. And so who gives a damn if people die? That's where I'm at, Ronald. let's see, Chris. Come on. Oh, here we go. Chris, I'm not sure that these lies are new in the Republican Party. The doubt they have cast on climate change over decades is just as dangerous. It is. By the way, Chris, did you notice the t-shirt? Did you notice? Chris gave me this t-shirt. So, just wearing the colors today, Chris. We're getting to the point where climate change is absolutely affecting lives. But it didn't have the same urgency, I guess, Chris, as a pandemic that is now killing one out of every 500 Americans. So I guess you will get there. Chris says, I love the shirt. There you go, Chris. Let's see. Orion, he says, I'm right there with you. I left the Big Tent Republicans board because I couldn't stand the ideologues in there who are drowned in their own worldview. The Republican Party is dying. It's dying politically. It's dying demographically. It's on a vicious path of self-destruction. Nothing is going to stop that decline now. Time to let it die. Tammy says, I have a friend after not believing COVID was real is now on board that masks work. Some progress. Love it. Love it. Lauren says, off topic question, Jay, where have you been? No lives last week. I explained that at the beginning, Lauren. I know everybody doesn't join right at the top. I was out of town on a business trip for the Tuesday show, and then a family emergency at the end of the week involving my daughter and a hurricane and her losing all of her worldly possessions. So hopefully, hopefully going forward, everything's okay. So that's where I was last week. We're back on track. Michael says, wow, Jay, thanks for saying what I feel. Ronald says, I love how people won't take the FDA approved vaccine, but will take the antibody therapies that aren't approved. LOL. I know. Once they get COVID, he says. You're exactly right. There is no rhyme or reason to it. There isn't. Try and have a conversation and just try this. Have a conversation where you give praise to President Trump for fast-tracking the virus in Operation Warp Speed. I guarantee you, they're going to go, that's so true. Man, Donald Trump, that was so true. We wouldn't have a vaccine if it wasn't for Donald Trump. And then say, so you're going to get vaccinated? They are so twisted and so backwards. And can you imagine a world where Donald J. Trump, as president of the United States, came out and said, because you love your country, because you love your countrymen, because you love your neighbor, please wear a mask and please get vaccinated. We must come together as a nation to fight perhaps the greatest enemy of our time. This is no different than World War II. This is no different than 9/11. We have a common enemy and we must come together and fight it together. Only united as a country can we return this economy to greatness. Can we return this people to health and to safety? And we don't need mandates and requirements to do it, because we are all going to step up and do our patriotic duty to such a degree that no one will have to consider a single mandate. No one will have to ask, because together we will be united in the cause of returning this nation to greatness. Can you imagine that speech from Donald J. Trump? And then after the election, he might get reelected if he had made that speech. And then afterwards, if he doesn't get elected, he spends the last 8 months on the Make America Healthy Again tour, touting his vaccine, encouraging people to wear masks. What a different place. Ronald says, ooh, I like that. Chris says Trump got booed at the first time he tried to encourage vaccines at a rally. Yeah, Chris, because he was about 15 months too late. Remember, he didn't tell anybody he got the vaccine? The guy wants credit for Operation Warp Speed, but he doesn't tell a soul he gets vaccinated. This is the savior of the Republican Party. Wow, wow, wow. What else do you say? What else can you do? You will notice that Carl the Cricket is no longer present outside. I don't know if crickets go this late in the year because I can't hear any. So Carl is not outside the window, but he is still available on a Carl the Cricket t-shirt that you can get at jmcfarland.com. Heather says, it's depressing talking about what should have been. It is, Heather. I agree. but maybe we can use it as a roadmap to what we should be looking for. Maybe. Ronald is leaving us. Ronald, be sure to follow on Twitch. Check back in. Love your comments. Love you to join us. We're live Tuesday and Thursday night. And we're right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, everywhere else. Thank you for joining us. Any other thoughts on this? Just been a lot of... he just followed. Thanks, Ronald. Thanks for following. And check back, and please always share your comments. We love them. Anything else about any of this madness you guys want to talk about? Or are we just all equally frustrated and not sure what to do? I'm not done trying, and I hope you're not done trying. Was there anything else that I had? Oh, I did have one other thing. Let's get rid of the iodine picture here. Chris says third vaccine news. Well, it appears that they didn't approve the booster yet. So Biden got a little bit ahead of himself, a little bit ahead of the science. I understand why he would want to do that. So I'm going to continue to trust their decision. It is interesting, though, Chris, that you bring that up, because there are so many people out there who believe, and I told you about the guy who approached me in church, and he's like, I just think that the pharmaceutical companies are running all of this, and that they're making millions, and that's why this is all happening. And what I wanted to ask him, but I didn't want to engage, I just nodded and listened, is whether or not the prophet of his church and the 12 apostles of his church are unable to see through that. How did they miss that one? I don't know. But the other thing I would tell you, to anybody who makes that claim, is wouldn't the third booster shot have been approved immediately? Because isn't that more money for pharmaceutical companies? But instead, for some reason, they said there's just not enough proof and studies yet to back it up. Doesn't that... No, they'll just come up with something else. Heather says, I'm frustrated. I just got notified that my third grader has been exposed, and now the whole class needs to mask up, but only for a week. Yeah. Lauren says, thoughts on vaccines for kids. I would love approval to happen for vaccines for kids, but only if the science backs that up. There is a reason why it hasn't been approved for kids, and that is they are still going through the process of studying that. And I will tell you, it's much harder for kids. See, people freak out. They're like, this vaccine got rushed. It's not true. Hear me again. It's not true. See, the reason that a vaccine or a drug normally takes so long is because there is a required level of testing. And testing is really hard because you have to do blind studies. And you have to get people who have whatever it is that you're trying to treat and people who don't have it. And you need to get them to sign up, and you need to do these blind studies, and you have to have enough people to do that. So that's one of the things that makes it so hard to get drugs through. Well, with the vaccine or with COVID, you didn't have that problem. We've done more testing with COVID than just about any drug in the last 10 years. Because the sample size was huge. The other problem with testing is you can't hardly give somebody a deadly virus. So that makes it hard to test under normal circumstances. So that's why you do animal testing and all of these things. But we had millions of people with this disease. So the testing was facilitated very quickly. That's why when people make that claim, again, do a little research. Stop just going on this emotion, because that is an emotional argument. Because you haven't taken the time to do the math and the research. And the reality is, and I'm not a big fan of big government, you know that. But in this case, I find myself pretty grateful for an FDA and a CDC who are clearly not rushing to push things out without testing. Otherwise, our kids would already have been vaccinated. This is one of those places where the ideas that are out there bang into each other and they should not be able to coexist. Oh, it's just the pharmaceuticals. So why aren't we injecting kids? Wouldn't that be more money for the pharmaceuticals? Oh, like this person who sent the message on TikTok. It's just to make children psychologically and physically ill. Well, why wouldn't they be giving them the vaccine then? Why in the world are they holding up on vaccinating children and giving third boosters if this is all about money? Those things don't add up. What does add up is they're actually looking at the research and the studies. That's what adds up. But when you've already formed your conclusions, nothing you can do. And when you have leaders in the Republican Party and you have conservative pundits who are all playing into it, because they know that's what drives the fundraising and they know that's what drives ratings. So they are willing to have people die for those things. Evil. That's what that is. Evil. Yes, my friends. Let's see. Any other comments on that? I did have one other thing that I wanted to share with you, and it's just a quick commentary about how do I phrase it? I've got it here. I don't need to make up words here. The drone strike that killed civilians in Afghanistan just before we got out. And that the U.S. has admitted that the drone strike killed civilians. And there are a lot of people trying to make hay out of this. Somehow it's Biden's fault that the U.S. military targeted civilians. Okay. All right. I guess he's the commander in chief. It all falls with him, but I feel awful about it. I hate it. It racks my soul. The military feels awful about it. President Biden feels awful about it. We should all feel awful about it. But there is something that I just feel a need to say, and I don't know if I'll get attacked for it or whatever, but I think that it's important to point out the contrast here. That terrorists attacked the airport and they killed mostly children and women. And not only did they not feel bad about it, not only did they not apologize for it, they celebrated it. And that's their goal. And there are those who want to bash America. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of issues that we still have. And we've got a lot to work on. But I don't want to skip past the fact that we made a mistake and civilians died. But this is because we refused to do things like carpet bomb. We refused to participate in activities that have the slightest potential to kill civilians. Are we 100% every time? No, but we should all, sounds weird, we should all feel good that we live in a country that feels bad that this happened. Because on the other side, they don't feel bad. And that's what separates us, and that's a good thing. And there are those who have told us that we should be more like the terrorists. Why can't we chop off heads? We've heard them say. If we're no better than them, then the only difference in the fight is who has the most power. There's no right or wrong. There's no principles. There's no good and evil. There's just two sides fighting for territory or power. If we don't hold and demand a higher ground, then we are no different. And the same principle applies to our politics. If we are just going to adopt the policies that we have abhorred and railed against for the last 50 years, and we've suddenly decided that we're just going to do those same things, then there no longer is a difference between us. So I just, when I saw that story, my first feeling was, oh, that's awful. But the terrorists would be celebrating. So I just wanted to share that with you and get any thoughts with you on that. We're different. We're different. And we should be proud. And yeah, we should feel bad. And yes, the military will do everything in their power. But you realize that there are a lot of conflicts that we could have won if we didn't take this higher ground. We could win wars a lot faster if we didn't take this higher ground. But we've decided to be different, and we need to use and choose leaders who continue to have that viewpoint. That if we don't act different, if we don't behave different, then we are no different. And we will have no higher power on our side if we decide to be that way. Okay. That's what I had for you tonight. Anything else? I could put this up here. If you haven't, if you're on Podbean and you're still following me, Orion finally did this last week. Thank you, Orion. He moved from Podbean, where he's been a faithful patron of this podcast from the very beginning. He came over to the JMAC Members Club. Orion, hopefully you don't mind me sharing that. If you were over there, cancel that membership there. Come over to jmcfarland.com. You'll get more benefits and more prizes. And also, I think I have something here. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Let's do this. You'll come over, join the JMAC Club. There's different levels. There's a free level. There's $5 a month and up. You get access to my books, to my webinars. You get commercial-free content. You get first access to content. I publish JMAC Snacks every week that is only available to patrons. So please take a minute and do that. And for those of you who have, thank you. That's what makes us better every single day and allows me to continue to be able to carve out the time to do the research and to bring my thoughts to you and to provide a forum where you can share your thoughts. So thank you, everybody. You're awesome. Maybe on Thursday night, there'll be more entertaining or better topics we can talk about. Something tells me that I shouldn't put a lot of hope and faith into that idea. And thanks again for all your kind words and thoughts about my daughter. She's here. She's back. She's home safe. She's restarting from scratch because of Hurricane Ida. But it was the best case scenario for a worst case scenario. All right, my friends, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. I'll be back with you on Thursday. And as long as there's not another crisis. So thanks again. Have a wonderful night.